God said, if they'll break through, then I shall break forth. I have a question for you this evening. What would you like him to do? You say, I want to hear from God. I want to see the miraculous. I want to feel the divine flow of his spirit. I say to you, if you'll break through, he shall break forth. The prophet comes to the little lady and she's desperate. All hope is gone. Is there somebody that in this place said, I don't have any hope in anything but Jesus. I'm desperate to hear from him. I've got to have a move of God. I realize that I can't make it on my own. I'm not comfortable. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. I don't want to ever get casual. I don't want to ever get at ease. I don't ever want to settle down and be comfortable with the atmosphere of God. I must have a fresh move of God every time I come into his presence. I've got to hear from him. I'm desperate. I'm hungry. I'm tenacious. He said, what do you have in the house? She said, oh, I got a little bit of oil. All I got is a little bit of oil. Some of you walked into this house and the world and the enemy out there tries to rock you to sleep, tries to get you to be naturally and carnally minded, getting you thinking, you're thinking about all the activities of the day all day long. And when you walk into a church service, all you can think about is what you got on the schedule tomorrow. Where am I going to eat after service? What's going on? Entertainment tomorrow. But is there anybody in this place? You say, I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. I'm gonna let it arise. I'm gonna let it break through this vessel. He said, what you got in the house? She said, I just got a little bit of oil. He said, that's enough. That's what I can work a miracle with the spirit that's inside of us. Somebody in this place, before I get into what I'm talking about, let's begin to encourage an atmosphere where God can pour his spirit out, where God can loose some chains, where God can set some people free. Woo! He said, all I'm looking for is a vessel, right? All I'm looking for is a container. Somebody who will give themselves to God. Somebody who will lay it on the line. I don't care what my neighbor thinks. I don't care what you think. I'm going to have a move of God. I'm desperate for the move of God. Jesus says, I got the healing, I got the power, I got the victory, I got the anointing. All I'm looking for is a place to put it. Can somebody in this place say, put it in me, Jesus? If you're going to use anybody, use me. God, break forth in this place in a wholesale level. I'm telling you, I hear it. It's going to come. The Spirit of God is going to be unleashed on us tonight. Can I get a unanimous amen? Praise touch God. There's the miraculous. There's the moving of the Spirit. But all he's looking for, somebody who can break the vessel. Who can break the vessel. I don't care. It's not valuable. Nothing in this life is valuable to me. All I got to have is Jesus. Come on, Brother Ronnie. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is still working miracles today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God forbid that somebody sells you this lie that God doesn't work today. The devil wants to rock you to sleep. The devil wants to cause you to doubt and question and be skeptical. But God is moving in the earth today. And I will say this, that I believe that God has yet to find somebody. The world has yet to see somebody who, what God would do with somebody who would give themselves completely to Jesus, who would not worry about anything else. He said, I'm building my treasures in heaven. I don't care about this life. My focus, my focal point is on Jesus. Hallelujah. Come, tell about.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm going to start from the beginning. About June, July, I went to my doctor in another hospital, I won't name it, and he said, you got multiple myeloma. He said, you know, you got maybe five. We might can stretch it, but it's bad. We want to do chemo radiation immediately. We want to do 3 weeks of chemo, 3 weeks of radiation, and 3 weeks off, and you start back. I said, no. You know, I went to God in prayer, came to the pastor, went to the church. Y'all begin to pray. In late July, I went and seen another doctor. She said, you're not dying, you know, but we're going to start. You can take a pill. She said, well, you can take a pill, and we're going to do tests, and then we're going to look and see. And if it's a little worse, we might do chemo. But I know you can take a pill. So I went yesterday, and she came in the room. She started laughing. She said, I don't understand. She said, something's not right. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, you don't even need the pill. She said, I checked it, the scan. You don't need the chemo. You don't need the pill. She said, man, you healthy. She said, but I want you to come back in 3 months. We're going to keep checking. I said, God is good. God is awesome. Who's like unto our God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only is he a healer, he is a savior. There is no one like him. Saints, you are awesome. You were praying. Thank you, saints. Thank God. Keep praying, because when I go back in 3 months, she's going to say, that little M protein thing is not there either. She's going to say, I don't understand. And pray for her. I think God wants to bring her in. She can get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost. But God said, I'll heal you. I can touch you. I can save you. I love you. He said, come to me. Lift your heart before me. I love you. He's an awesome God. There is no one like our God. We serve a God you don't have to rub his belly. We serve a God you don't have to hope. And oh my God, is this true? We serve the awesome, mighty God. And there is no one like him. I love him. There is no one like him, saints. Hallelujah. Keep praying. You're awesome. God is awesome. Amen.
Come on, let's rejoice. Nothing's impossible with our God. Our God is faithful. Our God is awesome. I stand in awe in his presence. Glory to God. Praise God. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We exalt you. Praise God. Anybody glad to be living for God? When the doctor says there is no hope, I have a higher court of appeals. Praise Jesus. 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 All power is in that name. All authority is in that name. Victory is in that name. Healing is in that name. Salvation is in that name. He said, I'll be to you what you need me to be when you need me to be it. He said, I am Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. I'm Jehovah Sikkenu. I am your righteousness. I'm Jehovah Rophe. I am your healer. Hallelujah. And he is our salvation. Can somebody call out that name? Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. I'd like to direct your attention real quickly to the book of Ruth. We're going to be reading from Ruth chapter 3 verse 18. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ruth 3:18. Thank you. Praise God. It says, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She said, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And I'd like to speak to you real briefly upon the subject, why I was created. Why I was created. Let's lift our hands and praise God one more time. Lord Jesus, we worship and we adore you. I am in complete need of your presence. Lord Jesus, send forth your word. Send forth your word to heal. Send forth your word to deliver. Send forth your word to inspire. Send forth your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, to draw us close to your presence. Let your spirit move in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Glory to God. And you can be seated. Hallelujah. The story of Ruth, the book of Ruth, starts out with a man who is from a family who is from a city called Bethlehem, Judah. They live in the kingdom of God. They live, they are the people of God. They are in the house of God. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And Judah means the place of praise. They live in that place. But the story begins with a wrong turn, with a wrong decision. And the Bible says that there came a famine in the land in Bethlehem, Judah. And Elimelech, who is one of the principal characters in this story, he looks outside of the kingdom of God. He looks outside of Bethlehem, Judah, and he looks to a city, to a place called Moab. And in Moab, he says, there's bread there. He says, there's hope there. And I'm going to pick my family up. And I'm going to take them out of the house of God. I'm going to take them out of the place of praise. And I'm going to take them to a place by the name of Moab. Moab. Can I tell you that you never are successful? God will never bless you. God will never be with you when you go outside of the body of Christ, when you move outside of the kingdom of God, when you say, I can do it my own way. I've got a better way. I can find a new solution. I can find a better pathway. I can solve it by myself. God does not need your help. But Elimelech, he hungered for the outside world. He hungered for acceptance. He hungered for recognition. And everybody in this place, all of us have that old man within us. This Bible says that we are to crucify that old man. I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ. He lives within me. He's the strength that I have. But I'm killing that old nature. I'm killing that old man. I'm crucifying it. I will not let it rise up again. The song says, in my house there's been a mercy killing. The man I used to be has finally died. But if I'm not careful, in a time of dry places, in a time of spiritual delusion, I can begin to look outside of the kingdom of God, and I can begin to make it my own. Say, I can make it my own way, and I can begin to help God, and I can begin to go out and hunger for what's outside the walls of the kingdom. Every one of us has that old man that wants to try to rise up within us, that Elimelech spirit. The enemy, your mind will tell you your family's not fulfilling you. He'll tell the single person, hey, don't wait any longer for a Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, on fire child of God. Don't wait for a boy to show up that's got the goods. Go ahead and try to find him on your own. It'll all work out in time. You'll never find the solution and the satisfaction for a hungry heart and for a longing spirit outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the place of praise, outside of the place of word, outside of the place of spirit and truth. And it's very possible that the emptiness, that sometimes the devil wants to sell you a bill of goods and begin to tell you that God's forgotten you and God doesn't know where you're at and God doesn't care about you. And he tries to sell you that word. And then you begin to say, there's an emptiness within me. There's a longing within me. But can I tell you that the answer is in his presence? The answer is crawling into a close relationship with God. The emptiness comes when I begin to fail to move into the presence of God. When I begin to forget my first love. When I begin to... Praise God. Somebody in this place say, I'm not going to forget my first love. I'm staying in the house of praise. I'm staying in the place of truth. I'm staying in the place where the bread is. Even in the dry places. Because when you begin to get outside the kingdom of God, when you begin to feel an emptiness and a longing to go out there, then you begin to tolerate unconfessed sins. I don't know about you, but I'm not tolerating any sin in my life. I want to hate what he hates. I want to love what he loves. I will not be taken outside of the kingdom of God. I'm staying on God's side. The answer is in his presence. There is fullness of joy. I'm complete in his presence. I've got everything I need in his presence. There's nothing this world has to offer me. Absolutely nothing. But when I get outside the boundaries of God's blessings, Elimelech said, I can do it on my own way. I can get outside the boundaries. I can get outside of the structure that God has put in my life. I get outside the inheritance. And when he does, he loses all that he has. Praise God. He leaves. He makes his way down to Moab. And not too long, the ultimate comes. The wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Lord Jesus. He loses all that he has. He loses his sons. He loses his life. He loses all that was special. He loses all that was valuable to him. It's absolutely amazing to me. Cody Marks told the story. I don't remember when. If he told it at Ignite or where. But it's absolutely amazing to me of the story he told about walking down the pew, walking down the aisle, and the man sitting on the corner chair. And he says, he comes to him, and God reveals to him that the man is living in adultery. The man is in an adulterous affair even now. And he does it outside the mic. He doesn't make it publicly known. He does it outside the mic. And he whispers in the man's ear. He said, do you see those kids up there? The man said, yeah. He said, do you see your wife up there? Do you see your children? Do you see your beloved up there? He said, yes. He said, do you love them? He said, I love him with all my heart. He said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, don't get back in that car. Don't get back in that car. And he began to tell him the situation. The man said, he said, is it true? The man said, it's true. It's true. He said, well, right now, if you'll repent, if you'll run to that altar, if you'll take off and you'll begin to make it right, God will wipe away the sin. God will wipe away the transgression. God will wipe away the error. The man said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he said, I began to beg him. He said, I began to get on my, I don't know if he got on his knees, but he said, I began to literally beg the man, don't do it. You got to count the cost. And he said, the man began to back away and back away and walked out the doors. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing in this world that is worth me losing my soul, that is worth me losing out with God. I'm not going to look to the gates of Moab. I'm not going to look outside the place of praise. I'm not going to look outside the place of bread. Every one of us must ask, answer the question, what do I do when the ways of God do not answer rational thought, do not answer human logic? We serve a God that is spirit. The flesh profits nothing, but the spirit quickens and gives life. Everything in the kingdom of God's not going to make sense. We walk by faith. We walk in the spirit. And even in the dry places, even in the dry places, God will be there. Even in a place where it's famine, God said, I'll be there to take care of you. I'll be there to be on your side. I'll be your food. I'll be your sustenance. Psalms 33, 18 and 19 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. There is no sustenance outside the kingdom of God. I don't care what the circumstances may be. I don't care if it gets hard. I don't care if it gets rough. The Habakkuk said, there may not be any fruit on the vine. The olive may not give forth its labor. There may not be any meat in the field. There may not be any herd in the stall. Every flock shall be cut off. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my deliverer. He shall make my feet like hinds' feet. I'm going to be stable. Nothing's going to move me. Nothing outside of these walls of the church and the protection of God's kingdom can shake me. Hallelujah. He wandered outside of the inheritance. He chased a rainbow, and he lost his inheritance, and he lost his sons. It's all a facade out there. Everything outside that tries to tell you it brings satisfaction, it brings contentment, it brings fulfillment, it's all a facade. It's all a rainbow. I reach for it, but I can't grab it. And then ultimately, it robs me from every good thing that I have. And when I go outside that gate, and when I go to pursue doing it on my own way, and I don't trust in God, and I don't depend on him, then I lose my very soul. The scripture said that those boys' names literally meant sickness and decimation. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you go outside, when you look beyond what God wants to do in my life. I must stay within the boundaries that God has set for me. I'm not gonna even go close to getting outside of that. I'm staying within it. I'm content to be a one God apostolic Holy Ghost, born again child of the living God. I'm content. There ain't nothing like this. There ain't nothing that can be compared to this. Hey, I wasn't raised in this. I didn't come up in this. I've tried it. I've been a part of the misery. I felt the pain. I felt the depression. There ain't nothing like Jesus. There ain't nothing like the kingdom of God. Do I have any witnesses in this house? There will always be dry times, but the Lord will make it his business to care for those that rest in him. Be not careful. Don't be anxious. But do all things through prayer. I'm confident that God is with me. And God is on my side. And if God be on my side, who can be against me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14 said there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Hallelujah. It seemed right. It seemed like the thing to do. It seemed like the place to go. But it was deception. And it was the wrong choice. His sons die. He dies. His sons had married a wife from Moab. One was Orpah and one was Ruth. Naomi, Elimelech's wife, was left alone. Her sons were gone. Her husband was gone. And she was in a strange land. It just didn't work out. And she tells her daughter-in-laws, she says, I'm making my way back. I'm going back to where I came from. I'm going back to that place of praise. I'm going back to that place of bread. Can I tell you, you can make it back. You don't have to die in Moab. You don't have to live a life outside the kingdom of God. You don't have to go to Moab. And she begins to tell her daughter-in-laws, you stay here. You go ahead and stay here because these are your people. These are your people. My people, they don't know you. They're not familiar. They don't take too well to foreigners. They don't take too well to strangers. And they begin to go. And Naomi says, no, don't go. Stay here. She tells her daughter-in-laws, you stay here. And Orpah, which the name literally means to turn away, Orpah says, okay, I'll go back. I'll go back to what I used to be. I'll go back to where I came from. But Ruth says, I see something within that woman. I saw something. I've experienced something. Though she left the house of bread, can I tell you, when you slip, when you get outside the kingdom of God, you'll never be the same once you experience this Holy Ghost. You'll never be the same once you get the blood and the spirit within you. And Ruth said, I see something within you, Naomi. I see something within you. And she said, your people are going to be my people. She said, I'm going to go where you're going. I'm going to live where you're living. And then I'm going to die where you died. I'm going to be buried where you're buried. She was committed. She made a decision. It wasn't easy. All her family was there. All that she knew was there. Everything that she had ever been was in Moab. She turned her back from it. She says, I'm going to be committed. I'm going to commit myself to walking with God. I'm going to commit myself to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. I'm going to be committed. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. They get to back to Bethlehem, Judah, to the place of praise. And Ruth goes out to glean. She goes out to scavenge. She goes out to try to get a little bit of food. They arrive there in the time of the barley harvest. It was springtime in Israel. She goes out to scavenge. It wasn't fun. It wasn't something that was nice. It wasn't something that stroke her pride. It was a matter of survival. And she stumbles upon a field whose owner is by the name of Boaz. She had no idea that her deceased father-in-law had a relative named Boaz. But she stumbled upon his field, proving that God was in control of her life. If you'll make the right choices, if you'll make the right decisions, God will direct your path. God will order your steps. God will put you in the place of provision. God will give you everything that you need. And when she came back from that field, she wasn't an ordinary gleaner. She wasn't an ordinary beggar, but her bags were full. Her bags were full. And the name that was on her lips was a man by the name of Boaz. She tells Naomi, she said, my God, have mercy. She comes and she says, look what I got. Naomi's blown away. Boaz is on Ruth's lips. Look what I have. Naomi says, that's a near kinsman of ours. She found her Redeemer in the place of the harvest. Every relationship, every destiny is shaped in the place of the harvest field. That's where you'll find satisfaction. That's where you'll find contentment. When I'm concerned with the things that concern him most, the Bible said that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Ruth, the story of Ruth is about a God who's seeking the lost. When I receive the Spirit of God, I receive Christ in me, the hope of glory. Can I tell you that the only satisfaction you'll receive is when you're in the harvest field. When you're in the harvest field, you'll draw close to Him. When you're in the harvest field, you'll find your Redeemer. What am I talking about? I'm talking about getting out in the streets. I'm talking about witnessing. I'm talking about telling folks. I'm talking about fulfilling the Great Commission of God. Every person in the church who grows weary or bitter has one thing in common. They have not, or they will, nor they will not be involved in the harvest. But is there somebody here that says, I'm going to follow the Great Commission of God. I'm going to find what I need. If there's somebody here that says, I'm a little bit weary, I'm a little bit tired, the answer to all of your problems is in the harvest field. That's where you're going to meet Him. God has anointed us to help somebody else. God has filled me so that I can bring forth it to somebody else. God has given it to me so that I can give it to somebody else. Happiness comes in the field. Praise God. Naomi says, that's our kinsman. He holds it within his hand to redeem us. He holds it within his power to restore us back to the place we once were. Hallelujah. She tells Ruth, you go and fall. You go and fall at Boaz's feet. You go and begin to ask him. Begin to draw near to him. And Ruth goes out. She doesn't play any games. There ain't no church games going on. She falls at Boaz's feet. And he says, you could have chose anybody. You could have chose anything. But you chose me. Because she knew who her Redeemer was. He covered and he protected her. He took care of her. She said, I know I'm an outsider. I know I'm a stranger. I know I'm a foreigner. But I know that you have the resources to redeem me. You have the resources to restore us back to our proper alignment and to our proper place. God longs to deliver us. Isaiah 43 and 19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is going to do a new thing within us. His desire is to do a new thing. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to get casual. I don't want to get unconcerned. But God, do a new thing. Do a fresh work. Do a new work in my life. And he shall do it when I'm at the feet of the Redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Boaz says, I'll do it. I'll do it. It wasn't in his best interest to do it. He had no need to do it necessarily. It was risking his reputation to redeem a foreign girl. He didn't need the land that would have been offered for Naomi and Elimelech. Because Elimelech had an inheritance that he lost. And God and Boaz had the ability to redeem that and to restore that back to the family. But he didn't need to. He didn't have to. It was a risk for him to do so. It risked his reputation. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Simply for no other reason, but it was in his heart to redeem. It was in that man's heart to redeem. Can I tell you, God doesn't need us. Let's all stand together. Praise God. God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. He was well off by himself. He holds the universe. He's all in all. Why did he redeem me? I was created that God, for God to show forth his love, for God to show forth his mercy. I was created so that God would have a way to redeem. He knew man was going to fall. He knew humanity was going to slip. He knew you were going to mess up and make mistakes. He knew Adam and Eve were going to grab hold of that tree. He knew they were going to partake of it. Lord Jesus, why do you allow all the death? Why do you allow all the pain? Why do you allow all the hardship? Because our God is a redeemer. And it's in his heart to redeem. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anybody thankful for your redeemer? Anybody thankful? Say, I was a stranger and I was a foreigner. I was outside the covenants of God. But God saw fit to redeem me. God saw fit to set me free. God saw fit to pick me up and to make me something I could never be on my own. Praise God. He's our Redeemer. He's our friend. He cares about your cares. He doesn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. He chose me. He chose me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall see him. We shall be like him. Now are we the sons of God. The world won't tell you you're a nobody. You're insignificant. You can't make it on your own. But God says, through me, you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gave it all. He laid his reputation on the line. The Bible says he became a servant. The Almighty God, who had everything, took on the form of a man. Became a servant, became obedient to death. He let his creation beat and bruise the Creator. He let his creation spit on him and put a crown of thorns on his head. All because it was in his heart to redeem. It was in his heart to bring us back to a place of unity and oneness with him. If he was that committed to me, if he was that dedicated to me, if he was that selfless for me, what can I do for him? There's nothing that I wouldn't give. There's nothing that's worth. Praise God. Somebody want to give yourself away? This altar's open. If you say, my Redeemer lives. The whole purpose I was created was so that I could be redeemed, so that he could make me, so that he could shape me, so that he could fulfill his love for me. Come on, let's pray. Come on, God wants to do a new thing in somebody. God wants to give somebody fresh vision. Somebody say, I'm going to go out into the harvest field. I'm going to fulfill my beloved's desire. He gave it all for me. It's the least I can do, but give myself to him.
Give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself.
what you want me to do.
I give myself away.
I'll pray the prayer.
So
I'll dedicate the time. I'll consecrate my life. You gave it all for me.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you.
Boaz said, okay, I'll do it. But there's one thing I got to do first. He said, there's another man. There's another man that's closer. There's another man that's closer and has the responsibility to redeem you. And he went to that man and he told him the story. And the man said, yeah, I want the field. I want the real estate. I want the stuff. But when he found out there was a widow and there was a foreign girl, Moab girl involved, he didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want anything upset in his little life. He didn't want anything upset in his little world. The flesh will rise its ugly head and say, it's not convenient for me to give myself totally. It's not convenient for me to lay myself on the altar. But somebody say, I don't care what the costs are. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll work.
Give myself away so you.
He's committed to us. Let's praise him. Come on, let's forget about everybody else. Let's forget about everything else. Let's offer up our lives. I was created for one purpose, that I might be redeemed. Why don't you lay your hands on somebody next to you and pray for your brother or for your sister. There's nothing in this world.
I give myself to you.
But I'm going to give myself to you.